Hello, listeners. So today, this is me, Beverly, your host on Developing Your A Game. And I am really, really excited to present to you the first lady in my new Women in Innovation series, Abimbola Adebakin. She's truly a woman whose antecedent. Not only is she a really humble, down-to-earth person, because we actually had the chance to meet and become quite good friends on another African women's cohort. But I mean, she's just been someone who you have to keep your eye on. She is the CEO of Advantage Health Africa. And if you haven't heard of it by now, trust me, you will be seeing this name everywhere. She is the CEO of one of the first technology-enabled pharmacy called My Pharmacy, which is rapidly growing across Nigeria. She's an innovator and she's also an entrepreneur who believes in good, sustainable business practices. And apart from that, she used to work at the Tony Elumelu Foundation as a chief operating officer, leading redesign and sustainable implementation of $100 million Pan-African Tony Elumelu Foundation Entrepreneurship Program. And apart from that, she was listed as one of the top 50 innovators in Africa in 2018. And she's also a Google Startup Accelerator Program mentor. Abimbola, I don't even know much more I can go on. Your CV is so impressive. I know, in fact, it's been an amazing journey as I start this podcast because I am delving deeper into the lives of women who I actually not only admire, but I'm fortunate enough to have so close to me, close in proximity to me. And I didn't know your CV and experience extends this much. I'm so excited to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much,
You are
Beverly.
truly an innovator, and I really hope that listeners who are into this all over the world will feel inspired, motivated to perhaps walk in the path that you've already created. You know, you're doing things to inspire not just women, but men also, because you are redefining a space, a long-standing traditional space, which is the pharmacy industry. So I really want us to delve with the time we have into how you got started. What was your what motivated you to go into that space, and how did you then make that pivot into technology? How did you make that pivot enabling your business, rapidly growing your business with the use of technology? So please, I really want you to take it away and feel comfortable. Let's have a really good time. Okay,
Thank
great. So,
you.
first things first, My Pharmacy. I am not just saying this, listeners. It's an amazing brand. It's a brand that truly cares about its customers. And it's a brand that has done so much to connect end users to pharmacies across Nigeria. It's an aggregator of sorts. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the My Pharmacy business in the context of Advantage Health Africa, which is the company where you are a CEO?
Thank you, Beverly. This is a
You're
great
welcome.
opportunity, big opportunity for me.
Thank
So
you.
you've talked about My Pharmacy. However, it emerged under curious, agitated minds that look have to do something. The access to affordable quality healthcare across Africa is so low, it's so poor, and anyone operating in the sector or around the sector tends to feel the pain of the end users. We've seen people who probably, have a patient in a ward and just cannot find the medicine that the medical doctor has prescribed. So it came out of a pain, out of a concern that there must be this medicine around. It just isn't around you where you are, but it exists somewhere in Nigeria. And the way my mind thinks, I tend to be able to move back and see a big picture. Say, what if I'm able to connect diverse single pharmacies together using simple technology? And I'm not, I tend to, you know, be called a tech-enabled, we tend to be called a tech-enabled business. But for us, tech is a wide continuum. It's as low tech as SMS, USSD, WhatsApp, to as high tech as artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and so on. For me, tech is tech, so long as it enhances efficiency and effectiveness. So I saw huge redundancy, you know, in the sector. I saw pharmacists were not speaking to one another. I mean, I'm not saying pharmacists were not speaking, but their businesses weren't speaking to one another. We're not leveraging their numbers. We're not, using the data coming out from their individual businesses to connect the dots and see a big picture of a huge, huge access that we could have. Let me give you some statistics. In Nigeria, over 50% of people who fall ill for one reason or the other, fever, headache, tummy upset, the basic things, they go to a pharmacy or a so-called chemist around them. That's the first place they go to. Yet the pharmacies are not, you know, officially considered primary healthcare centers. You look at the pharmacy and it seems like some store, but it isn't a store. It's a highly accessible entity that has a professional with a degree to defend that is right there, ready, treating, attending to patients. So I just thought that there's some latent power that we're not connecting with if we don't do some aggregation. So we are the aggregator in the pharmacy space. We've positioned ourselves to make sure medicines get from pharmacy to the end user. So we play in the last mile. So we quickly saw that we needed to have scale. So our partners tend to be those who can help us get to the last local government area in Yenagoa or in Sokoto or in Adamawa. Also, we've seen that the adoption of technology isn't so high in the health sector. So we keep working on not just deploying, but also on the mindset. And so we started with mymedicines.com. October 2017, we launched it. And it's taken off very in a beautiful manner. I must say that during this last few months, we've had a huge demand and a huge uptake because people are now at home and they need medicines, and we're the ones who get it to them in an efficient, reliable manner. We've seen more people from diaspora asking for medication for their parents. They really cannot, you know, solve it any other way. And we seem to have been positioned for a time like this. And then we saw that, look, let's also have our own franchise of pharmacies. What it does for us is a form of backward integration. So we can enhance the quality and we can enhance the service delivery because we've begun to partner with HMOs. HMOs are health maintenance organizations. And so they were sending their patients directly to the pharmacies. And we wanted to ensure that they have a good experience when they get there. And that's why we did that backward integration, got funded, and we're expanding the chain. I could say much more, but, you know, I don't want to.
No, it's incredible. It's what I particularly like about what you said is the accessibility issue, the accessibility issue for one, and also the fact that, yes, in Nigeria, I mean, even I'm going to say, my first port of call when I'm ill is I go to a pharmacy.
Right.
You know, they say we have a tendency to self-medicate in this country. And it's something that people like yourself, I really love the way your brand is advocating for, you know, raising the awareness, better awareness. And through the awareness, encourage people to seek the right professional advice. So I love you. You're filling in this gap yourself. I know there's a whole industry behind you as well. But that issue of lack of accessibility, you know, in your opinion, what is causing it? Is it illiteracy? Is it, there's more people in the rural areas who still don't have access to the information? Like, what really is causing this latency?
Okay, it's a combination of factors. One definitely is awareness, and awareness in a manner that people can use. It's not enough to churn out some policy or put out a paper there, and it doesn't translate into a key message to those who are reading it. And I think we tend to do a lot of communication that isn't getting to the hearts of people. I think that the way and manner in which we communicate must be at the streets language level, such that anyone, a mechanic, a plumber, a seamstress, can take what we have said, maybe through videos, through pictures, through nuggets, through storytelling, and can then understand that, look, my health-seeking behavior has to change. We must create that burning platform. We must show them examples that they can relate with or relate to, and then in that way, do something about it. So we must combine human psychology and change management techniques in all our healthcare communication. That's one of the things we have done. We're very keen putting out graphics, putting up, because pictures tell 1,000 words, right?
Absolutely.
We're very quick in using those, because to me, that's a way I learn. I'm very visual in my learning. Mm. Therefore, I think that we adopted that very quickly. And many people say, oh, your graphics is beautiful, your graphics is beautiful. We put a lot of deliberate effort into making sure the message comes across. When we put a delivery man and he's got a nose mask, we're telling you that we're being safe, we're being careful. And when we come to you, be assured that we've put some thought into it. I think that's the level of information we must be sharing, you know, and the manner. There's too much wastage of resources and effort and time with the way we communicate. So communication and awareness building is one way. Another is the fact that we have over 90% of us in the bottom of the pyramid. And when you see people at the bottom of the pyramid, the behavior, the manner in which they seek things, resources, is quite different from the middle class and the upper class, who tend to be the ones in power. Therefore, we must adopt BOP methods and strategies when we're talking about healthcare. I have a personal view that the manner in which we have presented healthcare is really for the upper echelon. It really is. It's you go into a clinic, you know, you go into a clinic, you see the lab there, you see the specialist there, and so on. So it's all bulked up together, and it's either you pay or you can't pay. The upfront cost, the entry-level cost, are so high that it has dissuaded a whole, you know, a whole population from coming to seek healthcare through the traditional orthodox Western methods that we rely on for good healthcare. What they then tend to do when they cannot afford that entry level is to seek it through alternative channels, especially those who break the bulk for them. And that's a big, tangible, you know, area of thought that we must, you know, think about and begin to deliberate upon. How do we break bulk in healthcare? How do we make, you know, healthcare accessible at an affordable, consistently affordable and sustainable manner for the 90% of people that are in our country? You made reference to the rural area. Beverly, it's not just the rural area. It's all over, the urban, the semi-urban, and the rural area. So we must have those deliberate, you know, discussions around breaking bulk in healthcare. The third aspect for me is that even the providers need support, because if you're a provider of healthcare and you're under a lot of pressure, you're unable to pay salaries, your rent is, you know, hanging on your neck, you, the provider, who everybody sees as a professional, who is looking behind into your operations and your composure to see that, look, you need help here. We need to finance your equipment, help you support your cash flow, find ways to enable you, empower you with knowledge and exposure and so on, so that the providers themselves are so empowered by technology, by finance, by operational support, that then they don't need to worry about those aspects. All they need to focus on delivering healthcare as best as they can. So I think that it's a multitude of, it's a myriad of issues, communication and awareness at the, in the manner that people can consume, the fact that we've got a huge bottom of the pyramid population and we must adopt BOP strategies, and the fact that also the providers need support in all ways that we can give. So that's one of the ways that we think in Advantage Health Africa. And so when we look at my pharmacy and things we'll be doing in the next few months, my clinic, my medicines, is for us to address it from those angles. And there may be a few other ways, culture and tradition and so on, and superstition. And if we can address superstition and bring people to access healthcare early, what we will have is we'll have fewer of them getting, you know, getting to a worse, terrible state, and then we have fatality. Instead, they will access healthcare early for cancer, for maternal issues and things around pregnancy. They will access healthcare early for chronic illnesses like diabetes and high blood pressure or hypertension, so that we can address the prognosis of conditions and really, really, really provide healthcare that is affordable and of high quality.
You know, a lot of what you've said really pulls together the fact that you are not only obviously an accomplished pharmacist, your consulting background really, really comes to the fore. You know, you've talked about appreciation of business realities. You've talked about the need to communicate properly, the importance of storytelling in business. You've talked about proper healthcare communication in a language that even people at the lowest level can relate with. And that by no means means that we are saying that they are low themselves. What we're saying is communicate in language that can permeate across every strata of society. You know, you really bring out that need for any person in business, driving a business, and you are at the forefront of the pharmacy business and pharmacy. And, you know, it's telling me that you have to have strategy at the core of what you're doing. Because without an effective strategy, it's just going to fall apart. And that's really what I'm getting from you. You're very grounded.
Absolutely.
in your business strategy. Your business and operational strategy is really, really commendable, because, you know, what you're trying to do has many, many branches. You're trying to revitalize an industry which, for the longest time, like you said, it was seen as something for the upper echelons, pharmacies selling their expensive, so many people can't, they end up going to the back streets, or they drink things like, you know, this agbo that people drink. It's like a one-size-fits-all approach. You know, I love how you're really changing the narrative. Do you know what? I actually look forward to seeing your healthcare posts. I love them so much. I feel that they resonate with life in general. You know, it's because healthcare is it's part of our daily life. It's not something you think of. It's not something you should think about only when you're sick. It's something you should have at the back of your mind every day. I need health to live well. I need health to run my business. I need health to live. So I love what you have at the base of Advantage Healthcare Africa. It's health for all Africans. I love the message anyway. I really love what you're doing. I love that you're bringing your consulting experience to the fore. So, I mean, people who are in the traditional practice of, you know, the pharmacists that are in the traditional areas, they are not.
Health is wealth. And at My Pharmacy, your health is our priority. Swift and efficient delivery of your drugs to your doorsteps have been made easy with My Medicines. We're always a step closer to meeting your needs. For more inquiries, visit my-medicines.com or call us on 080-8275-1466. Catch us on Twitter or Instagram at my_medicines.
How does the network work in practice? How can more pharmacies come on board your amazing network and leverage and be part of this amazing platform that you're building?
Thank you. I think it's been made very simple and easy for who's tired of how he or she is running the business right now. Because you must be tired.
Of
If you're not
course.
tired, if there's nothing, motivating you to want change, I really think you might not do the work we expect. Because you must change how you procure, how you manage your inventory, your finances, your people, as well as even how you conduct sales transactions and care for the patients afterwards. So we invite all pharmacists to join us. Our website is myPharmacy.Africa. You can see that we have a site on the whole of Africa. So
Yes,
our
I
website
love
is
that.
myPharmacy.Africa. And you can just, get there and just apply and get in touch with us. But what we say is this: are you ready to grow your business?
That's
Because you
it.
must be ready to grow. And to grow, you dig deep and then flourish. Too many people want to be as they are and expect us to do magic. And we say we're not magicians. We've set up a franchise model. Therefore, there are operational requirements, strategic requirements, and financial requirements that you must commit to. And if you then water it properly, you will see it grow. And so we have some who have joined, and I mean, some are having 10%, 16%, 20%. I don't want to call the higher numbers, but they
Of
do
course, of
exist.
course, of course.
Month on month growth. Some are
Amazing.
having those month on month growth in their revenues, and they can see the impact we're having on their staff confidence and just their staff awareness, and the fact that now they're able to do things collectively. I saw someone's post to me yesterday, no, over the weekend, where she said, look, she just entered the pharmacy and dealt with three orders from us very quickly. In COVID situation, many people are not going
Exactly.
into pharmacies, and we are
Exactly.
bringing orders to them, so we're
Amazing.
increasing their access to market. We're asking people, would you rather stay alone and weather the storm alone than come together and then in a VUCA environment where things are volatile, really uncertain, complex and ambiguous, wouldn't you want that safety in numbers, safety in counsel, safety in advice? Those are the kind of
Exactly.
things that you must be eager for when you say you want to join my pharmacy. And we have some pharmacies in certain states that we haven't yet put our management team in. And they are saying, no problem. Anyhow you admit us, we will join. So we just admitted someone from Makurdi
Amazing.
last week, saying, you know what,
Amazing.
okay, just join the group. We'll, help to manage you remotely. And so we're beginning to tweak our model. We're saying, okay, even if you're not in a state where we are currently present, because we're in Lagos, Ogun,
Okay.
Port Harcourt, Edo, Delta, FCT, that's in Abuja, and Oyo State. But there are others who want us to also support them in Calabar, in Makurdi, and several other states. So we're now beginning to open up and say, all right, join us remotely. We'll have a form of management, and that's where we're taking it now. But if you're a pharmacist and you have a pharmacy, licensed pharmacy, and you need support, reach out to us in whatever form we will help you. We very quickly during COVID reached out to pharmacies and gave them free counseling, and
Okay.
over 50 pharmacies subscribed to it. And so all of my pharmacies, the lead teams, were there counseling them, supporting them, and a few were recorded with their permission. And they were saying, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's true. I can do that. Oh, I can form this kind of WhatsApp group with all my clients. I'm going to reach out to them. That's true. I can take my big packs of vitamin C and break them down into 10 tablets so that people can afford to buy them. These are small tips, but they go a long way in helping
Oh,
to make
yes.
the pharmacy move and thrive. So we're very open and willing. If you want to join the network as a full-fledged franchise, or you want to be in the network and say, you know what, grant me some access to markets that I wasn't having before, we're open, our doors are open, and we're ready to help. I think the
Fantastic.
word collaboration is our middle name. So our name is actually
Collaboration, yes.
Advantage Health Collaboration Africa. So
I love it. I love it.
Thank
It's
you.
collaboration, they say, is the new competition. You know, you go further
Oh,
when you team up with
absolutely,
other people.
absolutely.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about this development program that you have, this capacity building program. And I think that is a really wonderful innovation because, you know, one thing I
Thank
feel
you.
that we have lacking in Nigeria across all sectors, not just pharmacy, it's capacity building. We complain so much that the standards are falling. Blends are not giving that performance management, you know, that managing teams effect. You've created stimulant program sounds.
Thank you.
What
So you
it's effectively supposed to do.
okay. So, you asked me earlier that what triggered me, what gets me going. I think one of the qualities I have is that when I'm irritated about something, I do something about it. I don't let it, fester
Excellent.
for too long. So, when I came back into the industry in 2017, I went straight to someone I had, had known years back, and I said, what are the problems here? What's going on? And he told me things about people knowing stuff and not implementing. So very quickly, I began to see myself, my new capacity then as a certified performance technologist. And I said, look, to retain your certification, you must show evidence of doing. You don't just say, you do as a CPT. So I said, oh, wow, I'm best suited for this era. And I went straight to do things. And he connected me with the registrar of the PCN, which is the Pharmacist Council of Nigeria, saying that the registrar has a problem. He's very concerned about interns or young pharmacies exiting the sector, or even, just feeling undervalued and, directionless when they leave school. And I said, oh, my last job was at Tony Elumelu Foundation, and I led as COO a large operation that helped to give direction and leadership to thousands of entrepreneurs. That means let me lean on that experience and develop a model for pharmacies that can work.
So,
Hi.
Bimbo, you were hi. So you were talking, you were just telling us more about what actually motivated you to get into the tech side of the pharmacy business. And you have your capacity developing initiative, which is really great. So tell us more about it, please.
Okay, I'll just start from the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the qualities I have is that when something is a problem I see or it irritates me, I tend to do something about it. I don't allow it fester. So when I came back into the industry in 2017, I met with someone I had known, and I just asked him a question, what's going on? What are the issues? And he said, well, a number of people know what to do, but are not implementing. So I quickly put on my certified
Thinking
performance
cap.
technologist hat. Yes. In C As a CPT, you get to renew your certification every 3 years. And so one of the ways you renew is to show evidence that you have been doing, performance technology or performance improvement in reality. So
Okay.
that looked like an opportunity to me. And therefore, I dived in that manner. So one of the problems I saw, which came also from that same relationship, was that he introduced me to the regulator of pharmacy profession. That's the PCN, the Pharmacist Council of Nigeria. And in
Okay.
meeting with the registrar, he expressed his concern about interns and young pharmacists leaving the sector disgruntled or without, firm direction. And I thought, you know what, I've just come out from Tony Elumelu Foundation as COO, and I adopted my mentality of, creating models there and used it to create the PLSP, which is the Pharmacist Leadership Stimulant Program. So it's meant to stimulate leadership qualities in people. I believe in, that there are inherent gifts in everyone. Absolutely everyone. I do not think there is anyone walking on the face, on the surface of this earth that is not carrying one gift or the other. But you know, conditions and nurturing help to stimulate those gifts to come out. So the program is modeled around employability and entrepreneurship, teamwork, and just being a problem solver. If you have the mentality of being a problem solver, then you've got a field day. Africa is filled with problems, but there are problems on one side and opportunities on the other side. I see the issues as coins. So if you look at it on just one side of the coin, you stay with that problem and you feel impotent, you feel powerless. But if you're able to flip it over and say, what is the opportunity here? And therefore, my whole gain from the PLSP is when I see problem solvers emerge from the program. When I see more pharmacists with direction and with that zeal and passion to tackle one aspect or the other of our healthcare issues or things around healthcare. And so it's been going on for this is the third year.
Great.
We have the third cohort now. They learn things like ideation, governance. They learn things around self-awareness, you know, interpersonal skills. They go through sessions on, they go through mentoring. We have mentors. We invite a lot of mentors onto the platform. They just had a games night on Saturday.
To create
the fun. And we had the ones who were rapping, the ones with the tongue twisters and all that. And, you know, some of them came out saying, look, this wasn't just game. This was me learning. Yeah. You know, I actually had fun and they interacted. Those lifelong friendships and collaborations that can emerge from such a platform, those are things we're looking for. And some of them are even beginning to mentor themselves in ways that, you know, we didn't plan even at the beginning. So that's really one of the programs. The Nigerian, the medical laboratory scientists also want to do the same. So they are leaning on us to give them, you know, guidance and templates. I believe every sector should have a program like this. So it's like an after school development program that helps us to harness our professionals, give them some support and direction. And they don't even need money per se. They just need pointers. You know, this is how to grow, this is how to build your career. And, you know, have your space and own it. Begin to leverage social media and technology to own your space and have a voice early. And that way they make all of their mistakes at an early age and they can thrive in their, you know, as they grow older. That's the purpose and the point of the PLSP.
You know, it's just amazing. So there you are, you're building a new industry, so to speak. And not only that, you remain committed to develop to entrepreneurship, you remain committed to mentoring. And I think that's something that I really, really resonated with when we met at the AWEC, the African Thank Women you. Entrepreneurship cohort. Like I've always said, mentoring is important, but I didn't know how to go around it. I just didn't know. But it's amazing that even being a mentor is also a form of mentoring, because when you're mentoring others, it keeps you active, it keeps you on top of things, it keeps you dynamic, because you need to, if you're going to be mentoring other people and motivating them, how do you stay motivated? So I want to ask you, you do so many things. How do you stay motivated? What keeps you going every day? Are you a routines person or are you a spontaneous type of person? How do you juggle all this?
Okay, if you look at it as a continuum with routine at one end and spontaneity on one end,
I love that.
I think I tilt more towards the spontaneity.
Really?
And I'm 59. Really? I think I get three things going for me. One is that I believe I'm on a mission sent by, you know, my creator, God. Yeah. And therefore, when I exhaust myself out there, I try to run back to him for guidance and help.
Replenishment.
Honestly, you know, so I couldn't do this if I didn't think I was on a mission. So I feel I actually have a mission. The second is that I've got a great family support system at home. My mom is available to, you know, to pack her bag and come and stay here if I need to travel. I've got an aunt who had to stay here, you know, for about 2 weeks when I finally took a holiday. So I've got that system. My husband is great in supporting my entrepreneurial, you know, dreams and aspirations. And so that works for me. The third, I believe, is my team. So I have been spoiled, if you want to use that word. So I think I'm spoiled with, you know, great people who just work selflessly. And they keep amazing and surprising me. We don't pay top bucks, okay? We can't afford that. But my people work like they're paid by, you know, the big Fortune 500 companies. And that has really been a great boost to achieving whatever we have achieved. But we all feel that we have so much more to do. We have so much more room to cover, you know, to occupy and make advancements. So we've been fortunate to have investors and a board of directors that actually believe in this dream and vision that we have, that Advantage Health Africa can actually create access to affordable and quality healthcare. We're not talking about cheap healthcare. So we're not trying to make healthcare cheaper. We're trying to make it affordable, convenient to pay, and in a manner that when you do access it, it's good quality. So that's those are things that are working for me, for us, and we believe that we're fortunate out here.
Absolutely, and you're on a mission, and you're a woman on a mission, and you will achieve that mission definitely with the way you're moving consistently, because there's a consistency in the way you've been operating, and good teams that underpins a lot. We need good teams to execute the strategies that we have. So you're the visionaire, you're the chief strategist, but without a good team actually implementing and executing, then so I think that for me is a really great takeaway, that you've built a great team. You can't do much without a team. And I love that you are empowering other people, because, you know, there's a problem with Nigeria it's not just a Nigerian problem. When you are self-employed or you're running a business, there's a tendency to want to micromanage, but it sounds very much like you give room for people to obviously they're working within certain boundaries, but you still allow them to do what they have to do without necessarily being over their shoulder. And you're relying a lot on technology, which is something that, you know, we need to make other companies and industries aware of. We really need our small businesses to grow with the aid of technology. It's the only way to release yourself from that huge stress, because I have no doubt that it's not easy what you're doing, although you make it look very easy. Yeah. It's not easy, but you are definitely leveraging well on people, structure, because I did hear you say that you have a board. And for people listening,
yes, we do.
Your business is never too small to have, even if it's one key advisor that's external to your company.
Yeah.
And then you eventually grow to have a board. So I love that good governance is a major feature in your business. I really love that, good governance. Do you have good governance principles in the pharmacy industry? I imagine that good governance exists as a code for your profession.
Well, right from the regulator, we've got codes that regulate the practice, and you know, you can fall back on. I think we're getting to the stage where we're now expressing more of the global standards and good corporate governance, and if and how we can achieve that at the upstream, midstream, and downstream levels of pharmacy, that would be great. But you know, we relate the sector, and we could translate more of those into business governance codes.
Absolutely, and
just to touch the point you said about my team.
Yes.
So I come from the background where I have seen that if you believe in someone, he or she will give you their best. Some by one default or the other may disappoint you, But ultimately, you even you feel a sense of accomplishment that I supported this person even to get to where he or she is. And I derive a lot of joy in seeing someone who probably came very green, and within a year or two is, leading teams. I had a colleague at a time where I couldn't split myself into two, and the team had to go ahead to another state in Nigeria. And there she was at the very beginning of her career, addressing a room filled with about 500 or so pharmacists on my behalf,
Amazing,
on my
amazing.
behalf. And she held the room. She actually held the room. And she says, every time you speak, I just copy you. But it worked for her. Out of my team,
That's
but.
really nice.
But I feel a sense of pride that, what, she came to me sort of green, but she's gone
Yeah.
and she's added value to herself. So everyone that works with me, if you're not improving yourself over the, first 3, 4, 5 months, it shows. And people just, sit up. And I believe as innovators, as entrepreneurs, we also need to give some room for errors, because if we don't, then people will just shy back into their
They
shells
get
and not come out.
discouraged. Yeah,
Yeah, so they
it's
just
true.
give you the minimum. But if they know it's safe and they express themselves and you don't, slam the hammer on them, guess what? They keep giving, they keep giving, they keep giving. And that way we make progress. I don't have all qualities needed to run this business. I'm an introvert. I don't typically, mingle or, come out and be the life of the party. But I have teammates making up for that. They, they compliment me in such ways that I have been quite fortunate. I recall just one example, if I'm not taking too much of your time. I recall where we went for a conference in Jos, and we were coming back, we were at the airport, and I had gone with two colleagues. One stayed back, and the other and I were traveling. And he noted the prominent pharmacist at the airport, and we were in the lounge. And he said, "Let's step outside. Let's step outside and say hello to him." I was like, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'm good." And he stepped outside, said hello to the man, said, "Oh, with
Nice.
Abimbola." He dragged me out. And do you know that man is one of my biggest champions today? On
Oh,
Father's
wow, that's
Day,
amazing.
I actually, acknowledged him on Twitter as my father in the profession. I wouldn't
Oh.
naturally have gone to meet him, but
Yes.
that drawing out of my shell came from a colleague, a teammate that I had
Yes, yes,
empowered one way or the other
yes,
to feel
yes,
free to go out and speak, So to
yes.
me, we cannot do everything.
We
Complementary
can't.
skills. We need teammates who
Absolutely.
believe in the vision, who believe in you, and will keep doing that, wherever they go. So
I think
I just
that's
thought to
lovely.
chip in that example. Thank you.
No, it's a wonderful example because, again, it reiterates and reminds me and hopefully the listeners that, when you're a leader, you don't have all the answers. Leadership is actually, like you said, about empowering others. And by doing that, they can actually teach you a thing or two because we don't have all the answers. Some people will be more extroverts. They can make connections where perhaps you can't, which is what that a teammate of yours did. So I love that. It's a lovely example of leadership. Leadership is about letting people be their best where they naturally shine. We can't do all the talking. We can't always attend every keynote speech. We can't always, but sometimes we just need to let others step in. People. And I love that you are at the forefront of doing that,
Thank
and
you.
you are practicing what you're preaching. It's a
Thank
big
you.
lesson for leaders, especially today. I think we have a warped version of what leadership is. Perhaps, we see leaders and we just expect them to be telling us what to do all the time, but that's not leadership. Leaders listen, they listen, they observe, which is what clearly you've been doing. No, it's
You.
great. Well, honestly, it's been a really lovely conversation. I've learned a lot from you. Like
Thank
I
you.
I'm just happy to be doing this podcast
You're doing a
because
good
I
job.
get to, oh, thank you so much. I'm learning so much about people around me. I mean, eventually I will begin to go further afield. But networking, and I love that you brought in that subtle lesson on networking in your story. You've done a lot of networking, you know, you do it internally and you also do it externally. You're building a network virtually across the country in the healthcare space. That is the epitome of networking. So you're reminding us that we need networks. We need to leverage off each other. It's the only way to move forward. I don't know what piece of advice would you want to give to not just budding pharmacists, but also your peers, people who want to, you know, go down this route that you have started of being tech enabled. What would you say in general to your industry if you could now?
I would say, you know what, we've had a model that served us several decades ago, but it's not serving us right now. And we must be open to embrace new models. And if it comes from you or comes from someone else, be open to, you know, just explore and embrace it. If we don't change, change will come to us and it will slam us out of you know, reckoning. I think that there are many, many problems in Africa. I'm not naive enough to say, no, we're fine. But with all those problems come opportunities, which is why when we were still, you know, flying up and down, we saw a lot of outsiders coming into Africa, seeing huge issues and excited. While we were here, government bashing and grumbling. You know, we don't need that. We need less of that. Yeah. And we need more of action and see where in your space can you fit in. Just take one jigsaw puzzle from there and sort that one out and then go. But, you know, we can't leave things alone. And like my former boss used to say, or still says, Africans need to solve African problems. So we need to tackle our problems and not feel helpless or hopeless.
Fantastic. And that is an amazing, perfect place to leave our wonderful conversation. And definitely going to be having you back because you've talked about performance management and ideation. We need to hear more on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Abimbola, for coming on
my
the
pleasure,
show.
Thank you.
You've been amazing. Thank you, listeners. You've just tuned in to another episode of Developing Your A-Game, talking to a woman in innovation. Thank you so much. Until next time, take care. Bye.